in Randolph County and from miles around. Everybody loves that smooth sound. Radio Ransparta means WHCO.
For folks on the go, it's 1230.
That's WHBO. We love to have you with us. We want you all to know.
Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. Time now for the People Speak program. We're taking your calls at 443-2121 or toll free 877-443-1230. Now, the People Speak.
Good morning. It is 9:27. I'm Jeff. This is the People Speak. Well, we had a good weekend. A little bit nasty out there this morning. We've got Randolph County Commissioner Dave Holder in with us this morning. How are you doing?
Doing very well. Good morning, Jeff. It's always nice to be here and have a chance to say a few words on this day with slightly less than pleasant weather.
Some places it's fine. Other places you got to watch how you step.
Yes, it looks like it's freezing rain out there right now. It's very close to it. I couldn't tell if it's rain or freezing rain, but it's right in that area. And the steps are a little slick out there. So when you step outside, be careful with what you're doing. But I know more towards the north. I was there over the weekend, and up there it was quite a bit. There's quite a bit of snow up around Fairview Heights in that area. But down here, hopefully we'll be spared from it a little bit, and that'll suit me just fine. And it doesn't have to snow to for me, but we're doing okay with it.
Exactly. So, I guess we can go ahead and throw our first break in here.
Sure. Anytime you want to put it in, that's perfectly fine.
Okay. We will come back. This is the People Speak on Real Country 1230 and 97.3 WHCO. And welcome back. This is Jeff again, and this is the People Speak. And again, we're talking today with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder, and talking about the kind of the nasty weather out there.
Yeah, we started with the nasty weather, but moving on to other topics. A week ago today, December 2nd was the first day of a new, or actually December 1st is the first day of the new fiscal year, but December 2nd was the first business day, and we had our first annual meeting of the new year, and that's where we complete the prior year's budget and pass the current year's new budget, which we did, and put that together. It was a kind of an all-day process, and that's not uncommon because the auditors are in there reviewing the last of the information and putting the numbers together in order to complete the budget and put it forward. For 2020, this is the fiscal year 2020, it'll be a little different than it was last year because we did not get the real estate tax bills out in time for collections from everyone. So there still will, in the fiscal year 2020, there will be the final collections from the year fiscal year 2019. So that will be in there as well as the full year of 2020. So that makes 2019 look a little low, and it makes 2020 look a little bit higher than it normally would be. But when you put both years together, assuming everything goes okay and this year's go out just fine, the fiscal year 2020's go out fine, then you put both years together and it would look more normal. Mm-hmm. And we put together the rest of the revenues and expenditures, and for the most part, if we can achieve those things, I believe we'll be okay. In a couple in this year's budget, and I'd mentioned a couple of these things during the meeting, and I think they, kind of notated in a paper that I've been trying to replace police vehicles, or I guess you'd call them sheriff vehicles, at the rate of about two per year, and so I had another two built into this year. It sounds like quite a few, but when you stop and think about it, the county has a dozen sheriff patrol vehicles, and they have nine full-time deputies and about six or seven, eight part-time deputies that fill in. And with a dozen vehicles, and of course they get a tremendous amount of mileage on them because they're patrolling the county from end to end. Mm-hmm. So if you replace two a year, it takes you 6 years to replace all of them, and 6 years is about all you're going to get out of the life on them. And there are a few other type vehicles that are used by the county, such as emergency management, the assessor drives, the coroner. That's one, you know, where you have a lighted vehicle, you know, with lights and everything on it, same as the sheriff's vehicle. So there, and you try to pass them down to the lesser use, but still you need that many in it. And we put some additional repairs in on the courthouse, although I think we're getting most of the major things replaced. We had one last air conditioner on the sheriff's over the jail area last year that we had to change out. So all of them now, I believe, are new at this point in time, or are new within the last 5 years. Let me set that away. So most of those major repairs are gone. I know we were discussing during the process a couple of other things that they wanted to take a look at, some new cleaning equipment, buffers, and those types of things. And I said, well, we'll get those in, and you can go ahead and buy the floor buffers and those types of things. And I think there was some stoves and refrigerators in the jail area, you know, for cooking, dieting, prisoners, those types of things that need to be changed. And because, you know, you have one of those commercial kitchens back there, basically, because it, from time to time, you know, you can have 35 people in jail, you know, right. Think of that many, but it can be quite a bit. And so you have like a commercial kitchen back there, and a lot of that equipment is on the age of 40 years. And so we're going to look at replacing some of that coming up this year, which is important and needs to be done, as well as just the normal things that will happen that we don't know what they are yet, but
right.
Certainly a few things will happen, and that will take place as well. But that was some of the highlights and repairs in the road area. We're looking at two possible bridges this year. One would be Mud Creek Road and County Highway 5, which is down from up from Rockwood, the one that comes north up through Rockwood past Murfreesboro Road, that area. That's County Road 5. And Mud Creek, there's a bridge there that we're going to take a look at replacing. And there was a second one we let, but I can't remember where the road was was at for. But if we get both of those, we'll have a good year on bridge replacement, that's very important. There's many different bridges, and you typically try to get one or two a year that need to be looked at. They're not all real large, but they're important to be taken, you know, to take a look at them. Beyond that, I don't think there'll be any new highway equipment that'll be necessary this year. I think we have most of it, unless the highway engineer wants to maybe take a look at one more mowing tractor, but I'm not sure if he needs that or not, but that'll be up for discussion later. But these are some of the highlights that were in this year's budget and cash basis. And moving forward, the care center roof replacement was completed. That was actually done in the prior fiscal year, but it's pretty well wrapped up at this point in time. And there was a rural development loan for that project, which was just a little under $300,000, but is necessary in order to replace the, you know, you have to keep your roofs up in good shape. Your buildings just don't last real long if you don't. Quality roofs, quality heating and cooling and air conditioning systems, these are all things that are very important, you know, in order to keep your facilities in good shape. But that was complete the last year. I'm not aware of any major repairs that will be required at the care center this year, or any other buildings or facilities. But there could, you know, there's always a possibility something will crop up. So we put some contingencies in there and reserves. Oh, I guess I forgot to mention the big one. But Randolph County is in negotiations with the unions. All of their contracts were up at November 30th. And we weren't exactly sure where they're going to land. But it's beginning to kind of take shape, and I don't think they're going to be too far off from what we had originally projected in the budget in that area. So when they're completed and approved, which probably will be, these things take time. I mean, it just takes a certain amount of time to pass. Right. So I wouldn't anticipate they'll pretty well all be completed until about the end of January. And hopefully at that point in time, we can have 3-year agreements with them, which will help out and extend some of that process a little bit longer, and take care of those issues as well. So that should be a good result. And so that's moving forward very well, but that's all important. And of course, Randolph County this year, and it's not something that's easy to deal with, but their IMRF, you know, Illinois Municipal Retirement Fund, for whatever reasons, they, you know, well, there's a state of Illinois, what else can you say? And but those costs will be quite a bit higher, or projected to be quite a bit higher in this fiscal year than they were in the last fiscal year, just simply because of the number of people, the age of the people, and the number who are retired, and the performance of their investments, whatever they are. Randolph County doesn't really have much to say in it other than how much payroll you're going to have. The IMRF, the state of Illinois, just kind of says this is what you're going to pay, the percentages you're going to pay, and you have to figure out how you're going to get it accomplished. But that's always a very large one in the mix, especially lately. The issues with Illinois ultimately trickle down to the local communities and counties and become part of the issues in the local areas. And so that one will be a large one that we'll have to deal with. If I remember correctly, right on the order of $400,000 more this year than it was last year. So that's a fairly large amount that you have to deal with and compensate for. So it takes up quite a bit of payroll. And that was another issue involved in it. And beyond that, that's kind of the highlights. Obviously, there's about 20 pages of detail, which, of course, myself and the auditor, we spend quite a bit of time, going through piece by piece by piece in order to get to what we think is something that's workable. And then, of course, then the last thing you have to do is you have to cross your fingers and hope that you have the the sufficient tax revenue. I'm not a professional, so I'm not as good at this as you are. So you have this sufficient tax revenues to come in, and your expenditures, you don't have any unexpected problems or expenditures. And if all those things occur and the tax revenues are based on what we projected, actually materialize, and a lot of those we don't really know, and they're just basically sent to us from the state of Illinois. We don't know what the sales will be in Randolph County and what our sales tax reimbursements will be, but if they come through somewhere near the projections, I think we'll be just fine and meet our targets for the fiscal year 2020. And I'm looking very much forward to that. I know it's been it's always a struggle. There are so many good things you can do, and so many things that are worthy. And when you're doing the budget, it kind of gets down right at the end, is you have to make the decisions as to what stays in and what doesn't stay in. You don't have a lot of choice on those types of things. I mean, you just have to, at some point you just have to pick what goes and what doesn't go, even though all of them are very worthy and deserving. You just don't have, there's not sufficient funds to fund them all.
Right.
And you have to live within your means.
Exactly. So, I'll tell you what, let's get our next break in here.
Sure.
And we will come back with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder here on The People Speak right after this. And welcome back to The People Speak. This is Jeff. And again, we're talking with Randolph County Commissioner David Holder. And talking about all the budget and everything.
Yeah, we had discussed the budget and some of the details based on it and how it went together for the first of the year. And as I had mentioned, if everything comes together as anticipated, it should work fairly well. But, of course, you never know exactly what's going to happen in it. Other things taking place in Randolph County, I think I'd mentioned some of these before, but we had worked on the shelter house down there at the Fort Gage, Fort Kaskaskia. I was trying to think of the name there. And that project was a year ago. Then this year, and it was completed this fall, they had raised money to put the new knee walls in. Those are those little stone walls that circled around the area. Those had deteriorated substantially, and those were replaced, and they did a wonderful job on them. They just absolutely look excellent. Very good job, and it's nice to have those replaced. And I think they finished up around late October, early November. I don't know if I'd mentioned it. Another issue that is very important, and if you've listened before, you've heard me talk about the Enterprise Zone that would be a combination of Monroe and Randolph County. It includes the communities of, see if I can name them all, Columbia, Waterloo, Valmar, Redbud, Sparta, Evansville, and Chester. I think I had them all in there. We have received word that the Enterprise Zone has been approved, and I'd had good hopes. I thought we met all the criteria. There was 10 separate criteria that were required for it, and I thought we met them all very well. And that was approved, so it becomes effective January 1st of 2020. So we're looking forward to that. We're in the process of the, since it's approval, we're in the process of having the follow-up meetings to get the organization in place for the 1st of January, because I'm sure there will be, you know, businesses that are interested in the enterprise zone. They're aware of these things out there, and they'll contact us. Hopefully it'll develop into something. As I mentioned earlier, having an enterprise zone, it's just another tool in the toolbox of economic development that can really be beneficial and help move the county forward. Also this month, the Southern Illinois Connector Task Force, that's the four-lane road that runs through here, basically from Carbondale to south side of Columbia there. There has been a lot of work put forth on that over the last year. A Senate bill basically a year ago authorized the creation of the task force to study which routes might be possible and feasible in order to get the whole plan on IDOT's five-year plan to see if they would be willing to fund it. That process has been completed. The final reports are going to be issued here in the next couple of days Senate resolution required, the reports by the end of this calendar year. And though I've read the drafts of them, they're very good. It makes a very good argument for the four-lane road. Now, of course, I've known this has been discussed since I was a small boy. it's been discussed for over 50 years, and it makes note of that, the different times it has been brought up and studied. But you have to keep on it, and portions of it have been built. From Marion, Illinois, basically connecting into Interstate 57 and 24, they're funded three lanes each side, six-lane highway, basically from there through Carbondale. A good portion of it is built. They're in the process of building the last portions of it. Then it turns to four-lane from Carbondale and runs that away all the way up to north of Murfreesboro. North of Murfreesboro up to Virgins has been studied, and much of the work has been done on that, and there's a good possibility that another five-mile stretch, probably up as high as Route 4, the termination of Route 4, maybe even a little further north to Virgins. The funding could be in place for that, hopefully in the next couple of years. That will be a piece that will, could be built reasonably quickly. Funding and study engineering studies from Waterloo down towards Red Bud are very likely. Ultimately, this project will probably go in pieces, be funded in parts and pieces as they typically are. And I think we have a very good chance, but you have to keep up the work on it. It's a marathon. You have to keep pushing forward and providing the necessary information to get yourself on the five-year plan where they will take a look at it and study it, and that's what keeps it moving forward and ultimately makes it happen. So that's moving forward very well. 911, I was involved in some board meetings with that, and they're looking at some grants and some new equipment that they hope to have installed in the next they had a shorter timeline, but I'll say in the next 6 months, because I know timelines don't always work. But they're in the process of updating some of their equipment with some new grants that are available, and that's very important in our community. Although it's separate itself from Randolph County government, the 911 board is a separate entity, but nevertheless, it's kind of all part and parcel of our communities and how it goes. Looking at possible upgrades on dispatch equipment, but you're not exactly sure when these things are going to happen, but you know they're going to happen as technology changes. And so those are some of the things being looked at, as well as some interested parties through the Progress Committee. You always continue to work with them, and hopefully you get the opportunity to move a few more businesses into the area.
Right.
So that's some of the other stuff other than the budgets that have been taking place and moving forward in Randolph County.
Getting the business in, that's important.
Well, yes, it is. There are a number of small businesses that open up, and you always want to encourage them. But as larger operations take a look at your area, you have to be able to show the advantages of being there. And, of course, they're, the state of Illinois, has a certain amount of issues with it, but you present the positive sides of what you have here. You're near the metropolitan areas of St. Louis. You have a good river potential, you know, with river traffic and several docks, and those things are very important. You have all of those, and that's, you just have to make your case for it. And as the old expression goes, which coach was it says you win some and you lose some. Exactly. And that's kind of the same way, but you play each one of them, and from time to time you have a good opportunity and you have some move in. When you look back over the last 8 to 10 years that I've been a commissioner, we've had the opportunity to move and grow several good businesses in this area, particularly over around the Redbud area. There's quite a few that have either moved or started or thrived or changed, and that's very good. And it's good that you can be a part of that and help that along, as well as some down in the Chester area.
Exactly. Well, it sounds like we're out of time, but thanks for being with us.
Well, that's quite all right. Always enjoy the opportunity. I guess I won't be back now until the 1st of January, but... It's good to come on and say a few words and do what I can to help.
Hard to believe another year has gone by.
Oh, it does.
That will wrap things up for the People Speak. I'm Jeff. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Have a great day.